Monday. Today is May the 6th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, House and Senate Ag Chairs recently announced plans for drafting a farm bill as they're going to start to mark it up in committee yet this year. We're going to take a look at how each side is proceeding, both the House and the Senate, and obviously different opinions based on the party. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, after months of talks and delays, the leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees each laid out separate farm bill proposals on Wednesday with goals of pushing Congress to pass a new bill this year. The House and Senate plans still suffer from the same divisions over nutrition and conservation that have dogged both committees since they started the process of drafting a new farm bill in early 2023. Now, House Agriculture Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson released an overview of the GOP farm bill, stating his plan to mark up the bill in committee on May 23rd. This bill is a product of an extensive and transparent process, which includes soliciting feedback from members of both political parties, stakeholder input from across the nation, and some tough conversations, Thompson said. Each title of the farm bill reflects a commitment to the American farmer and viable pathways to funding those commitments, and is equally responsive to the politics of the 118th Congress. Now, as Thompson announced his plans in the House, Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow also released her proposal for different titles or sections of the farm bill. Talking to reporters on Wednesday, Stabenow said her bill is trying not to cross, quote, bright lines to garner bipartisan votes in the committee on the Senate floor. She doesn't have a date for a markup, but said she will continue serious bipartisan negotiations to reach an agreement before setting a markup date. When I go to committee, she said, I want to know we have bipartisan votes to pass it. Right now, the 2018 Farm Bill is operating under a one-year extension that expires on September 30th. Senator John Bozeman, the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, called the release of Stabenow's framework, quote, a welcome development. He indicated a Senate GOP framework will come after the House takes up its bill. And with both committees moving forward with plans, Bozeman said he is confident a bill can still be done by this Congress. Now, he said, our actions must reflect the realities in the farm country. Farmers are facing challenging times that by every metric are likely to continue in the coming years. Considering the farm bill only comes around every 5 years, we must ensure we do right by our farmers and make meaningful investments in the risk management tools they rely on to weather the storm. For commodity producers, Thompson's bill would increase reference prices for the Ag Risk Coverage Price Loss Coverage, or the ARC PLC programs. It would also provide authority to expand base acres to include farms who currently might not have base acres to enroll in ARC or PLC. Under Stabenow's plan, commodity crops would see a minimum 5% increase in reference prices, but cotton, peanuts, and rice producers would see higher increases in their reference prices. And on reference prices, she said the accelerator language in the 2018 Farm Bill already assures most commodities would see a 10% to 15% increase in the ARC PLC prices. Her plan would create a new accelerator provision for cotton, peanuts, and rice, aimed to ensure at least a 5% increase. Now, the Senate bill will aid by a commitment from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to add $5 billion in new money. We just went in to fill the gaps and use the money to do that, Stabenow said. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
In other agricultural news, lawmakers are hearing from Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack about the staggering loss of U.S. farms over the last 45 years. USDA's Gary Crawford has more.
Some compelling testimony a few days ago before the Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, testimony from Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
And I bring to the attention of the committee concerns that I have about the loss of farms and the loss of farmland.
Losses, Vilsack says, are huge. He told lawmakers that since 1980,
we've lost 544,970 farms. Now, to give you a sense of how many farms that is, that's all the farms that exist today in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, and Oklahoma.
along with the loss of farms.
We've lost 151 million acres of farmland. That is land that was in farming that is no longer in farming. That is the entire land mass of Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, and a good part of Virginia. I don't think anybody on this committee, and I don't think anybody in this Congress, in the Senate or the House, or in this federal government, believes that that's an appropriate direction for agriculture.
Which brought this question from North Dakota Senator John Hoeven.
What's most effective, in your opinion, to stem that tide?
I think it's a combination, Senator. I think first and foremost, you obviously have to have a safety net to try to keep people on the farm, which goes to the loan programs, goes to crop insurance and the risk management tools. But I think it's also expanding markets. I think it's important for these small and mid-sized producers not to have a single commodity-based income stream. I think they have to have a stream that's climate-related. I think they have to have a stream that's ecosystem service-related. I think we have to encourage more conversion of agricultural waste into a variety of products instead of over-application in many parts of the country. I think we need to continue to strengthen our local and regional food system because they get a better bang for the buck. I think we need to continue to look at concentration and do what we can to provide more independently owned, maybe farmer-owned processing. So it's a combination of safety net and markets.
Along with efforts to revitalize rural economies in general, Vilsack said that work is starting to bear fruit. He said that according to a recent report,
it appears that rural employment is now back to pre-pandemic levels. The unemployment rate is at an historic low in rural America. And in fact, we've actually seen a reduction in the counties that have been characterized as persistently poor. These are counties that have experienced a poverty rate of 20% or more for over 30 years.
Vilsack said 29 counties have dropped out of that list over the last year, showing that efforts to rebuild rural economies are working. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.